So don't you think we learned a lot during the financial meltdown?
I definitely did.
We learned what derivatives are and mortgage-backed securities are, securitization.
Yep.
You know, what are we going to do with this newfound knowledge? In some sense, it might be like flying in the plane when it's crashing with the window open so you can see what's going on now that you understand what's about to happen
to you.
That
is a grim metaphor.
Exactly. And we want to avoid grim metaphors this morning, but there are some disturbing trends in the economy, and we want to see how related and interlocked they are as we predict what's going to happen going forward. If you've looked at the stock market, there's been some real indications that investors are pretty darn worried. Mike Munger joins us, economist at Duke University. He's on the line from Durham, North Carolina. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Let's talk a little bit about fears of deflation, which we've discussed this week on the program, concerns about demand actually slowing around the world, and particularly the numbers this week that caused Wall Street to really balk, and that was the Fed deciding to intervene in the economy, saying the recovery is slowing down, and the trade deficit suddenly widening.
Well, you take all of the things together, probably the worst is the fact that there's been no uptick in employment and new unemployment claims actually went up instead of down. Stock market is a leading indicator in the sense that it's a forecast about things that are going to happen a year or so from now. And one of the rules of finance is that anything that's going to happen already has. So the stock market turning up was a good sign because it meant a year or so from now employment might start to turn up. But now it looks as if people are very skeptical, even in that leading sense.
You know, it's also true that the stock market as a leading indicator, I want to unpack that a little bit. It seems to me that the cash and the motivations for investors, is a little bit disconnected from the basic sentiment of jobs and demand that consumers are feeling. I'm worried that maybe computer programs that trigger trading patterns on Wall Street may be construed as larger economic trends when really it's much more noise than signal.
Oh, if you should look at most at kind of weekly or averages and maybe even longer than that. Yes, we're looking at tea leaves and overinterpreting the fact that it's gone down last week. Nonetheless, the fact that employment also is not turning up means there isn't really any good news to say, okay, now we've hit bottom.
All right, so the question then is, are we at some kind of a turning point? And in history, you know, long economic recoveries or prolonged downturns do have these sort of important turning points, forks in the road. You've suggested that it's 1936 once again in America. What's that all about?
Like Ronald Reagan. It's 1936 in America again.
Yeah. He was alive then. He knows. He would have known, yes.
In 1936, it looked as if the economy had hit bottom. Huge growth, actually, in 1936. And there was an election coming up. It's an old country song that says, baby, let's do something, even if it's wrong. So in election year, there's a big temptation for government officials to say, here's what we've done to help the economy. But it doesn't seem like any of the policies that we're undertaking have had a big effect. Also in 1936, the Roosevelt administration turned from saying, let's use stimulative policy to let's worry about the deficit. And it sounds eerily familiar, doesn't it?
Except that the Roosevelt administration said it then. Now it's the Republicans saying it. And
it's the Democratic Congress, too. Basically,
really?
the Obama administration is stuck. They can't get any new spending stimulus passed the Democratic Congress.
And you would recommend that stimulus is what's needed here, not a rollback of taxes or a concern about the deficit being a drag on the economy long out into the future?
I think we have to pick one and stick with it. What happened in 1936 was that they ended the stimulus spending and they raised taxes. They raised taxes on income to 79%, and they raised taxes on business profits, a retained earnings tax, which is probably the single most disastrous policy. So we need to pick something.
Well, you know, back then in 1936, the United States, it could be argued, was the sort of preeminent economy in the world, and that the entire universe was contained within the borders of the U.S. in a certain sense. Today, China is really the driver. Asia is the driver. Europe is the driver. What can we do to deal with the reports out of China that its economy is slowing?
Well, we're still the number one manufacturing country in the world. We still produce an awful lot. We just consume it at home, and we import a lot. So the U.S. is the consuming driver. the other countries are not doing their part in terms of consumption. Consumption's falling a lot. Prices are falling. So we need to get back to what you said at the outset. If there's a worldwide deflation, you can't use monetary policy really to offset that because people are just going to put the cash in their mattresses. Uh-huh. Right now, interest rates are so low, they can't go any lower unless they go negative, and that's what deflation would be. That would be disastrous. That's the hinge. That's the kind of abyss that we have our toes over. We're looking down into the blackness.
All right, so Mike Munger, Duke University economist, it sounds like your takeaway is that the Fed, whatever it said in its report this week, has really disclosed to the world that it's out of levers to affect the economy. Monetary policy is no longer going to have the effect, and Congress is stalled in considering what you believe will work, and that is more stimulus.
Well, I believe that's what we have to do. The saying is you can't push on a string. So monetary policy, we can't have the effect. Congress has decided it's an election year. We're not going to have the stimulus policy. What are we going to do? People have lost confidence.
All right, but, you know, the election will pass, and then we'll get back to doing stimulus again. It's just a pause.
We said that in 2008.
Really? So we're running out of time here.
At some point, we have to choose a consistent policy in spite of the fact that there's an election 2 or 4 years from now.
Would you say that a double-dip recession is in the cards based on the numbers you're seeing, or that the policy changes or a consistent policy, as you've recommended, would actually pull us out of it?
Oh, I think a consistent policy would, yes. Here's what monetary policy is going to be. There's not going to be any new taxes. We're not going to blame business for not hiring people. And this is going to be the stimulus policy that we're going to have. We're going to continue it for the near future.
All right,
no more stops and starts.
All right, but let me push back on you a little bit. I mean, I think the stimulus was something on the order of $500 billion of actual spent money. Maybe there was more in the actual appropriation. $500 billion didn't have that much of an impact. I mean, you're going to have to go to like $1.2 trillion or take over the entire housing industry by the federal government to have the impact you're talking about,
well,
yes?
I would be happy with, let's not have any more stimulus. Let's announce that. Any consistent policy would help. They're waiting to see if we're going to get more stimulus. People are just waiting because of the uncertainty.
Is there any value to the fact that during 2007 and 2008, Americans became more economically literate in some sense? They know more. They're paying more attention to the numbers.
I think that's probably dangerous because it's like if you're watching your own temperature, you constantly are a hypochondriac and you think you're getting sick.
All right. It's Friday the 13th. Okay, Mike? I'm battering you around trying to get some positive, something hopeful out of you.
It rained in Russia.
That's it. That's all
There's
you got.
Your takeaway.
I got nothing.
Mike Munger, economist at Duke University. It rained in Russia. That's your takeaway on this Friday the 13th. Thanks, Mike.
See you.